Happy Sabbath, Church.
Happy Sabbath.
Our scripture reading for today is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God.
A picture is worth a thousand words, isn't it? Thank you for such a wonderful children's story. Very nice, very nice. Thank you for the special music this morning, ladies. To God be the glory. Our scripture reading today is found in the New Testament. Our scripture reading today is found in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. I'm reading, all my text of scriptures today are being read out of the King James Version. I'll read this in your hearing. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Let's pray. Dear God, today we ask you to forgive us of all of our sins and iniquities. Please escort us into your most holy place where you live, where your love abides, where your word is planted and your promises are life, where your promises are fulfilled and manifested every day. We want to live there with you and through you. I ask you to infuse within your vessel the purity of heart, clarity, love, power, authority, necessary to proclaim only your word. Please have dominion over this holy sanctuary during this divine worship hour. Please, for the next few moments, transport our hearts and minds to that quiet, special place where only your word lives and abides, where it can be heard, received, and delivered, free from all worries and cares and concerns for this present day, for the next few precious moments. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Once again, our scripture reading this morning is taken from the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11. Let's start reading from verse 9. Hebrews chapter 11. Start reading from verse 9. For by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. By faith, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling with these tabernacles. By faith, he claimed this promise with his wife Sarah. And she gave and received strength to conceive seed. Foundation. God himself is faithful.
Amen.
On your screen, on this screen I should say, is an image of the tallest building in the world. It is built in a place that did not exist, if you can believe this, 15 years ago. Did not exist. It's a city built in a desert. It's a city built in the middle of nowhere. They had to build and set a foundation. They had to drill down deep, way deep in the earth. Nearly a half a mile deep. and build on pillars, pylons. This place is called the Burj Khalifa. It is in Dubai. That's too far. That's what it looks like on a 360 degree angle. A couple years ago, I had a chance to go to Chicago to make a presentation. And one of the gentlemen who is really big in biomedical products tests a lot of his products overseas. And he came from this place. And when he was describing the building to me, I was like, I just couldn't imagine it. But I just began to think to myself, what will it take to build a building like this? The five tallest buildings in the world, if you can imagine this, the five tallest buildings in the world were all completed within the last 10 to 15 years. The five tallest buildings in the world. Shanghai Tower was completed in 2008. The building before we just saw was completed in 2010. The Mecca Royal Clock Tower is in Mecca, Saudi Arabia, was completed less than 2.5 years ago, 2012. The Freedom Tower in the United States was completed. Anybody know? Last year, July 4th. Why? Because it's 1,776 feet. Taipei 101 was completed in Taipei, Japan, which is one of the tallest buildings in the Middle East. I have an attorney friend who travels to Asia. He said, when you approach it from the water, you can see it from miles away. These buildings are the tallest buildings in the world. To build, erect, and construct these modern fortresses into the sky, the earthly heaven, it requires the use of super materials, advanced technologies, and engineering features which test man's scientific limitations. It also required laying a solid, firm foundation. At each construction site, at each building zone, you must dig deep, very deep, before you can go up. I'll say that again. You must dig deep, very deep within, before you can rise and go up. It requires establishing a firm foundation, acquiring a cornerstone upon which you can build and expand. 47 years ago, when the World Trade Center was created, the engineers scoured all over the Northeast and up and down the East Coast to find the proper cornerstone to lay the foundation. And guess where they found it? Take a guess. Right here in the Capital District, not too far from where we live in Rensselaer County in East Greenbush. Actually, there's a place up there where they pull all the trees that go to Rockefeller Center for Christmas. The engineers went in there and hewed out a quarry, in the quarry, a huge rock and stone. And it was brought on flatbed trucks when they shut down 87 South to take it to New York. Just as in erecting buildings of tall skyscrapers or statues and laying a firm foundation, God has to do that with us. After the flood, God went back to the drawing board to reestablish his covenant with mankind. God desired to reestablish this as a new beginning, as a rebirth. God's covenant with man would be the cornerstone of his relationship with mankind. This would be done to establish an intimate connection with each and every one of us. And in order to do this, he selected a man called Abram, who lived in the Ur of the Chaldees. Let's look up Genesis chapter 12. New Testament, first book of the Bible, probably the easiest book to find. Genesis chapter 1. Excuse me, chapter 4. I apologize. Here we go again. Genesis chapter 12. Sorry about that. Verses 1 through 4. I already had the sermon in my mind where I want to go. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Once you have it, please say amen. Amen. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. 75 years old. At 75, most of us are looking at the retirement, being in the place where we're going to live. At 75, most of us are not looking at picking up stakes and moving. But God spoke to Abram, and he called him out of his father's house and told him that he would establish in him and create a family of a great nation. Now imagine Abram was honored. He probably felt privileged because he had heard and he knew the story of the flood. I want you to understand this. Back then, storytelling was a huge art, but it conveyed the history of your family. It conveyed the history of the people. He knew from whence he came. Got to understand that. It's so important. That's why with my little guy, I talk to him, I tell him a lot of stories. And sometimes he says, okay, Dad, I got it. But it's important. You don't realize until you get much older. Until you have the connection with the past, you can never see the future. Abraham heard this promise, and he received it because he longed to have an heir. He heard this promise, and he received it, even though he did not completely understand how it could be done. For with all the stories he had heard, and this is a unique thing about being a Christian, God can always show you something new. Amen. With all the stories he heard, from Adam to Noah, he had never heard of a person his age having a child. But Scripture said that he didn't hesitate. Scripture said that he didn't contemplate where he would live. Scripture said, listen, look at verse 7, same chapter. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there build he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He picked up stakes and he moved. God was putting first things first. Abram had to learn to place his whole entire trust in God. God had given Abram the promise that was most desired by those who serve God. And thee shall all the earth be blessed. From this, Abram understood that from among his descendants, the Redeemer of the world would ultimately be born. But the fulfillment of these promises was dependent upon Abram's willingness to obey and willingness to exercise perfect faith in God. In order that God might qualify him for his great work, Abram must be separated from his associations in early life. The influence of kindred, family, and friends would interfere with the training which the Lord proposed to give his servant. This is taken from Patriarchs and Prophets, page 126. God commanded him, get thee out of thy country and from thy father's house. His first move was to Haran. His father accompanied him. When Abram's father died, God commanded him again to separate it from his extended family, like his aunts and uncles. And the rest of his family sojourned to Canaan. Now, this is very unique. Abram was a witness. Not having yet received the promise, he was a witness. Sarai and Abram practiced true worship. He was witnessing in character, witnessing in practice, and because of that, a large group of people moved with him. The spirit of prophecy says that Abram had a family in his household of over 1,000 people. I want you to think about that. Now, that's an entourage. Okay, 1,000 people. I can't imagine feeding. I remember we had a family reunion. When we go down south, family reunions could be about 400 people. We had a family reunion in Rochester, about 310. And all the nieces and nephews, you don't sit. You give up your seat. You have to have some gray on the roof. You better give up that seat. You cannot sit down. You have to yield to your elders. Okay? Imagine feeding 1,000 people morning, noon, and night. You have to live like you. You have to live like Cleo and these other brothers on the farm. Okay? Where you can plant some vegetables. But remember, these guys were moving. They were moving from left and right, and they were pitching tent. Pitching tent. Abraham was the patriarch, a ruler, or priest of his household. His influence was good among them and so great that God said, I know. This is taken from Genesis chapter 18. You can look there quickly. Verse 19. It says, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. This is very important because in order for God to bless you, he needs to know what you're going to do with the blessing. He doesn't want to give it to you and you go crazy. He wants to know that there's a plan. There's a purpose. Abraham moved from place to place, and wherever he moved, he would build an altar and call his household together to worship the true and living God. The Bible says that many Canaanites learn of God through Abram. In the future, the altars reminded the inhabitants of the land to worship the true living God. They were left. It was like he had little mini church plants. 1,000 people take up a lot of land. So every time he went to another place, he built an altar and he left it. And it reminded them, hey, I remember this man who was once here. Although Abram was the father of the faithful, his faith was not perfect. I say that again. Although Abraham was the father of the faithful, his faith was not perfect. He was an ordinary person, subject to temptations, doubts, and fears. His faith had to be developed. Look at the man in the mirror or the woman in the mirror. Does that sound like you? There was a famine in the land. They had to journey to Egypt for a little while to obtain food. After he returned to Canaan, God renewed his promise. Time is moving now. He's in his early 80s, mid-80s. The Bible says in Genesis 15, verse 5, he said, tell the stars, which means count them, if thou be able to number them. So shall thy seed be. Abraham believed God, although he did not have a son. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. New Testament. Book written by Brother Paul. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Once you have it, please say amen. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Sister White says that this applies for you and I. When we believe in the promises of God, it's counted unto us for righteousness. You can transpose your name in that verse. Pedro believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That doesn't mean that I'm perfect, or he was perfect. But we rely upon the strength and the righteousness of God to perfect in us. We're justified when we accept God's promises. We're sanctified through the process of life by living through them, having weight to receive them. Abraham was 75 years old when he received the promise. He lived after the flood. And the lives of men and women on earth were significantly shortened. Time was clipping away. No heir, no fulfillment of God's promise. Abraham was entering the fourth quarter of life. His mind begins to wonder, when will God fulfill his promise? His mind begins to wonder, when will God fulfill his covenant? When will God answer my prayer? When will God provide an heir? When will God provide a physical heir for my life, for my own wife? When will it be my turn? My wife is old. I'm older than my wife. Physically, medically, biologically, this is impossible. Has anyone ever felt like that? Have you ever been in a situation where you're like, you know what? I hear you, but I don't see you. Or like the kids say, I hear you, but I don't feel you. So far this year, we've heard some awesome sermons about messages of miraculous miracles, where prayers have been answered instantaneously. We've heard of messages of God's deliverances, even though we were obviously guilty. But thank God for his everlasting mercy and grace. Amen. Amen. But what happens when God's answers are not instantaneous? What happens when God's answers to your prayers are not very fast? What happens when God's answers are delayed, postponed, prolonged? What happens when you pray and that answer has not come? What happens when you pray and your circumstances remain the same? What happens when you pray and you just see the present and you don't see the end from the beginning? What happens when you pray and the walls appear and feel like they're just coming in and they're moving? The three answers to prayers. Three answers. Yes, no, and wait. Yes, no, and wait. Abram had to learn to wait. He had to learn to believe in the Lord. He had to learn to trust in the Lord. He had to learn to maintain a high standard of faith in the Lord despite prolonged periods of silence. Abram had to maintain his faith through prayer, through prolonged periods of inactivity. God is silent. I don't hear him. The songwriter once wrote, and Sister White says, that when God is silent, that doesn't mean that he's inactive. When God is silent, that does not mean that he's not moving. At times, God's silence is fertile soil for potential doubt, fear, and anxiety and depression. We have to fight that off. You see, when your faith meets time, your prayer changes. If God was like a remote control, man, you get up off your knees, you're done. You ever see that commercial? I saw this commercial watching the news the other day. The guy does one push-up. Can one push-up solve cardiac problems? And he goes, whew. Can one sit-up prevent heart disease? He was like, whoa, this is good. Instantaneous, it doesn't happen that way. When your faith meets time, your prayer becomes enhanced. There's no atheists in foxholes. When your faith meets times, your concentration during your prayer life becomes acute and focused. Your prayer life becomes precious, a valuable commodity. Your faith and your prayers are your only currency with God. You see, when faith meets time, your faith will be measured. You see, when your faith meets time, your faith will be tested. When your faith meets time, your faith will be strengthened if it's not broken. You see, when your faith meets time, your faith will be stretched. In engineering, we call it elastic memory. That pillar in Dubai said that it had pillars that were elastic in the water, an eighth to a tenth of a mile, tugged onto its fortress underneath. Elastic. When Abram returned from Egypt, he had to regroup. Even though he was God's chosen, he wasn't faithful. He lied about who Sarah was. There was a famine in the land, but he needed some food. And he was afraid that if I tell this man who this woman is, he's going to kill me. Brothers, his wife was fine. I'll stop right there. But he was so tempted, he was concerned. He was saying, you know what? I have to feed 1,000 people. So if I can hide the truth enough to get out of town, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. But while he's quiet, the governor, the king was making plans. He said, yeah, I want you to renovate this room. I'm going to put her in this palace, and she's going to have all these escorts to accompany her. And before he knew it, his wife was escorted off. The truth wasn't revealed until when? Until this man came down with sores and boils. He was like, what have you done to me? Probably in his heart, he wanted to take Abram out. He really did. But being a wise person, he said, wait a minute. If this man can attack me without seeing me, if he can attack me and destroy my body without touching me, I think I'm just going to let him go. So what he did? He said, take everything I gave you. I don't want it back. I don't want to touch it. Just leave. Just go. And take your wife with you. Thank you, Sister Pam. And take your wife with you. As time passed, Sarai and Abram thought that they would help God out. I started doing some research through patriarchs and prophets, and they said that at this time, they're about 80. Abraham is about 95 years old. Sarah's about 85. And he said, you know what? Maybe God has forgotten us. You got to understand, when you read a story in the Bible, they never give you the time frames until you begin to do references. We live in a technology age where I can tweet somebody or email somebody. I sent a text or email to Sister Rachel for the sermon. She sent it back. Oh, I got it. But sometimes I look at my phone and say, well, let me send her a text. I didn't hear anything. I forgot to check the email. It's instantaneous. Imagine you hearing a promise in year one. You're visited by God again in year seven. You hear from him again in year 13. Year 15, you're thinking, oh, maybe he needs some help. I'm waiting. Sarai offered her handmaid Hagar to bear him a child. She did. And wouldn't you know it? Like that, she's pregnant. I can only imagine how Sarai felt. The one thing she wanted to provide Abram, she couldn't give it to him. The one thing she would like to give him on a platter, she could not provide. The loathsome dread, the disappointment, the fear, the anxiety probably just simply overwhelmed her. And she probably felt like giving up. Instantaneously, by trying to help God out, they create a dysfunctional family. They brought jealousy, hatred, envy, and strife, and perpetual warfare to the kitchen table every day, every morning. With 1,000 people, they didn't have any conflict. Not like this. Not like this. All of a sudden, you have somebody who's front and center that you cannot get rid of. You cannot dismiss. All of a sudden, Abram can't run. Guys, we have what we call the man cave, I guess what they call it. Women, I'm not sure where you escape to. Everybody disappears to do their thing. Back then, they had the tent. The tent. There's no rooms or passages in the tent, I guess. So you would hear everything. I could only imagine how she felt. Because now this woman looked upon her with contempt. She looked upon her with no respect. Spirit prophecy said that she taunted Sarah mercilessly, just relentlessly taunted her. All the women in the camp just whispered, "Can you believe this?" We got to be careful about words. We may gossip about somebody and not even understand the trial and tribulations they're going through. We got to be careful about words. Hannah was taunted by her husband's other wives and their family members because she could not give her husband a child. Hannah prayed and prayed for a son. The priest thought she was drunk when she was in the temple, but she was in the spirit just asking God to deliver her. Job's friends thought that this man had sinned relentlessly, all three of them. They said there must be some hidden sin in Job's life. That's why he's suffering. That's why God has taken everything away from him. That's why he hasn't answered his prayer. God left them so destitute and devastated, alone and physically abandoned, they just knew Job had must have done something wrong. They wrote him off. We must be careful of the words we say in public or in private, whispering to our friends, "You know, Sister so-and-so is in a bad situation. They can't do X, Y, and Z. Brother so-and-so, why isn't this going on well with him? What do you think?" Thinking they have all the answers, and they're putting a foot in their own grave. See, these words speak from the consciousness of the heart. Not knowing that these individuals are on the rough side of the mountain. You just haven't gotten there yet. It's late. Let's look up Genesis chapter 17. God had a covenant with Abraham. He renewed it. At this point, Ishmael has been born. Abraham receives a covenant. Scripture says that he's in mid-90s now, late 90s. And this is a covenant of circumcision. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, he is 90 years old and what? And nine. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, "I am the mighty God, almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make thy covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thy seed exceedingly. And he fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations." Now this is the hardest part. When you pray, and God reveals to you what he's going to do and it has not yet happened, it's hard to continue to hear it repeated. But yet, it's hope and exhilarating. I can't explain it to you. It comes and you're waiting and you're believing, but it has not yet manifested itself or appeared. You're saying to yourself, I'm going to believe, but great day. What time is it? He's 99 years old now, and he's waiting. They were old, very old. His wife was 90 years old. The promise was given 25 years earlier, 25 years ago. Sarah's womb is dead. It's dead. She's not physically dead, but biologically today, if you heard a woman at 90 years old says, you know what, I'm going to have a baby, what would you tell her? I'm going to pick on Joanna. Joanna was like, mm-mm. No way. Impossible. Some of you today may be going through an experience where it appears hopeless. It may appear dead. It appears lifeless. It appears dead as Sarah's womb. Your professional career may appear to be dead. Your health may be deteriorating. It may appear to be dead. Your relationship with your husband or wife may appear to be dead. Your relationship with your son or your daughter may appear to be dead. Your relationship with your brother or your sister in Christ or a physical brother or sister may appear to be dead. Your relationship with your boss or co-worker may appear to be dead. Student, all hopes aren't lost. Your academic career is not over. It may appear to be stalled or stagnated. It may appear to be dead to you. Your finances may appear to be dead. It won't change. An unanswered prayer delayed does not mean denied. An unanswered prayer delayed does not mean derailed. Abram was sitting in the floor of his tent, probably thinking, when will it be my turn? Will today be the day? Let's look at Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground. When I read this, I'm thinking to myself, what in his spirit caused him to worship the strangers immediately when he saw them? If a stranger come to your door, would you bend down and start worshiping? You might say, hey, how you doing? What's your name? Are you a stranger, need help, need some directions? It's hot, would you like some water, something to drink? But what would motivate you to bend down and start worshiping? When you're praying, oh, here we go. When you're praying and your mind has been channeled and you in tune with God, God talks with you. He reveals himself to you. You sit in expectation. You're ready to receive, not knowing when it's going to be delivered. You sit in great expectation, looking forward to the actual accumulation and the accentuation of his proverbial promises that yes, it will happen. All your experiences and time come together and you're ready to claim it, but you don't know when. So when these strangers appear out of nowhere and they're walking towards them, my father used to tell me, he said, walk with a purpose. Walk with a purpose. Walk with a meaning. Walk with determination. Walk with intent. Walk with a gate, knowing where you're going and knowing that you got things to do. They came to him with a purpose. They came to him on a hot day, not whimpering and sludging over. You need to read this story in Patriarchs and Prophets. Ellen White said they walked straight up. Has anybody been in the desert? I lived in Arizona for 2 years. And my boss used to tell me, there's two sets times of the day you should not be outside the house. I said, when was that? He said, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. I said, that's the whole day. He said, yes. I said, why not? He said, go out to lunch. And when we go out to lunch, I was wondering, Intel used to have a parking lot, and they had the garage right next to the building. And depending on what type of job you had, you can work park right next to the clean room. So I would bring my lunch every day, and one day they gave us a car. I forgot my lunch, and I did not live too far away, and I had about 2 hours for lunch because I came in early that day. I said, I'm just going to go home and get something to eat. Man, it was about 12:30. I ran out to the car. As soon as I hit the walk outside the building, I saw people in Arizona walking with umbrellas. I never understood it. In the middle of the day, no rain, sunshine. Okay? Watch Super Bowl week. This is the best time of the year to be in Arizona, seriously. They knew where to put it. Because you know why? The temperatures are 30 degrees cooler. You go to Arizona in July? Oh, no. So you would walk in the heat like this, like you're running from the rain. Head bowed, hat on, tucked in. You're running from the heat. Sister White said, these men walked upright. I want you to understand this. Walked erect with a purpose. He's looking across the plains and Mamre says, oh, my gracious, who are these coming? And they coming with a gait, steady. Focus. He knew in his heart, oh. This may be it. Before he knew it, they were on his doorstep. Before he knew it, they were standing before him. Before he knew it, they were right at his feet. So he bowed down and he says, my Lord, if now I found favor in thy sight, pass not away. But he says, I pray thee from thy servant. They haven't said a word now. You got to understand. His life of waiting on the Lord for 25 years had put him in tune, expecting to receive. Had put him in tune, expecting to be in unison, choreographed with the word of God. They haven't said a word now. He said, here's a little water, I pray you. Be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts after ye shall pass on. I love this story for a couple other reasons too. We'll get to it quick. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent of the Sarah and says, make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and cakes upon the earth. They made bread, right? Or from the south, we said they made some biscuits. Okay, they made them quick. Verse 7. I love this verse. I'm not vegetarian yet, but I love this verse. It says that Abraham ran onto the herd. Where'd he go? Into the herd. He didn't got to give them no lentils. Nothing against lentils. He did not give him no collard greens and kale. Nothing against that. He did not give him, excuse me, I'm sorry. It says, he didn't give him no rice. He didn't give him no rice. Nothing against that either. What did he say in verse 7? He fetched a tender calf. A tender calf. Say it again, Brother Flo. Tender calf. They had a barbecue. They had beef ribs. If my mother hears this, I know she's killing me right now. They had ribs. Tongue in cheek. Tongue in cheek. Sister Marina just biting her tongue. She's looking at me. But that's what the word said. Verse 7, I'm reading out of King James Bible, that's what it said. And Abram ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto the man. And And he hastened to dress it. Now, the spirit of prophecy said that this was who? Jesus Christ himself. God will visit you at the time. He'd been waiting so long for the answer to his prayer. God said, you know what? Let me come down and talk to my man. After such a long period of time, let me come down and reassure him. After a long period of time, let me come down and let him know that my word is real. I don't lie. God cannot tell a lie. Let me come down and talk to him, let him know that this is going to happen. And he took some butter and some milk. See, that's why I believe it's biscuits, because butter and milk. I'm sorry right now. I don't believe it's biscuits. And he said he dressed it up. Let me tell you what I think it means. He seasoned it. See, I got some, I got the cooks nodding. That's what it means, dressed up. He seasoned it. I live with a baker. Praise God. Homegirl can bake. I got turned onto a place in the mall I'll tell you about called Penzi's. Lovely place. Every season and spice under the sun. You can get in Penzi's. Helen, when Helen told me about that, when I go to the mall now, I find myself peeking in. I'm like, whoa, what new spice I can find in here? Okay? They said he dressed it. And they said unto him, let me finish reading. And they stood there. Now, this is the part I love the most. Then after this, I'm going to leave everybody alone. I'm going to leave everybody alone. And he set it before them, and they stood by them under the tree. And what did they do? Excuse me, I can't hear you. And they ate. And they did eat. Amen. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And she said, behold, in the tent. Now I want you to understand this. This is the first words they said. I want you to get this. This is the first words they said. Read this whole book again. This whole chapter again. Abram is running around. They haven't said, both people, they haven't said a thing. They haven't said a word. They're running around. But the first words he says unto him is, where is Sarah thy wife? You got to recognize God when he show up. You got to recognize him. They haven't said a word. They came with a purpose in the heat of the day. Let me tell you something. If you go Google where Dubai is, the average temperature of the day is 130 degrees. Imagine, and back then, they have no insulated suits now. Okay, they walk it with a robe. I don't care if it's white, beige, cream cup, it's hot. 130 degrees in the heat. And he gave him water. That means he walked with no canteen. No canteen. They had no knapsack with any lunches in it. They probably had a stick in their hand, sandals on their feet, and they're walking. You got to recognize God when he show up. He shows up. Instantaneously, he's looking at him. He said, oh my, this might be it. The first things they say unto him is, where is thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly, verse 10, return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Now, you know, when you've been praying a long time and God comes to you personally, directly, in living color, there's no doubt. And the beauty of this, is that all the other messages that came, only Abraham heard them. Understand this. When you go through your trials and tribulations, you don't go through them by yourself. Your family is affected. Here, the beauty of this is that Sarah heard it. Do you think that was by chance? No. It was important for her to hear what the angel said. End of verse 10. Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. And now Sarah and Abraham were old, and well stricken in age, and had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed. Within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also? Do you know what that laugh meant? Man, you must be crazy. You must be mad. After all this time, you're going to come to me now and say that I'm going to have a kid? I'm going to have a child? I'm 90 years old. My husband's older than me. You got to be kidding. But you know what? Verse 13 says, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child? Spirit of prophecy said, oh no, oh no. For he heard her. And quickly, verse 14. The servant of the Lord, the angel says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? She stopped in her tracks and she was like, oh my gracious. Abram was telling me the truth. Oh my gracious, this is about to happen. Oh my gracious, after all this time, he's about to deliver. How is this established? How is this created? How do you acquire this type of faith? Now, I'm not sure, I'm not saying that Sarah didn't have faith. Okay? But I know that God needs to manifest himself at times and show up, because for those who are supporting the people who are going through trials and tribulations, they need to be uplifted too. And that script just reverberates. Let's go forward to the New Testament. Stay right here in chapter 19, 18 and 19. Let's go forward to the New Testament. I'm trying to make this quick. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he's teaching them the art of faith, the art of belief, the art of healing, the art of restoration. Mark chapter 9. Verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, are you there? Please say amen. Amen. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they held him and beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what questioned he with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. He was possessed. If you read other versions of the Bible, this person was dumb and possessed. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and foameth at the mouth, gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless. Now they've been healing everybody. Understand this. If you read this book, read this section of Mark. The disciples have been healing people all week. They've been healing and casting out, healing the blind, healing the maimed all week. But now this is the unusual. This person was not only deaf and dumb, but he was possessed. And it couldn't be completed. He answered him and says, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground. Darkness and light cannot occupy the same space. Evil and good cannot preoccupy the same place. One has to leave. Patriarchs and prophets said that the young man leaped out of his father's arms. Imagine you holding your son or your child, and a person walks in the presence and just leaps. He jumps out and he hits the ground. He's trying to get away. He asked his father, how long is it ago since this came into him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. You know what that means? He's tried to commit suicide. He's tried to kill himself many times. But he says, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us, him and his wife, and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out. And I'm going to say this to me. I think this is myself many times. Even though I believe and I have faith, and some of you may recognize and associate with this. I love this verse. He said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. How can you believe and have unbelief at the same time? How can you believe and have doubt at the same time? How can you believe and wait on God's promises, but not sure if it's going to happen for you? You know, many people believe in prayer, but will that really happen for me? It may happen for sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, but would this really happen for me? There's a difference. This man was being honest with God. He said, you know what? I believe you, but dear God, please help my unbelief. And when I read this story, I read this verse, I say to myself, that's me. I believe you, but I'm waiting on you. I believe you, I don't see it, but I believe you can happen. It can happen, it can happen. But when will it happen? When Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, verse 25, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. You didn't kill him, you killed him. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up and arose. And he was come unto the house. His disciples asked him privately. This is very important. Man, why couldn't we do that? The verse says, why could not we cast him out? Verse 29. And Jesus said unto them, this kind can only come forth nothing but by prayer and fasting. The foundations of our faith is prayer and fasting. The foundations of our relationship with Christ is prayer and fasting. There's no shortcut. There's no quick fix. It's prayer and fasting. Can you bake a cake quick? No, it got to go in the oven. 350, 45 minutes to an hour. There's no shortcut. By prayer and by fasting. Let's go back to our story. Genesis chapter 18, verse 9, and chapter 18 and 19. For the first time, got to understand this. For the first time in Abraham's life, he's now Abraham, the Lord physically appeared to him. All the other times he appeared through a dream or a vision. This is the first time he physically appeared before him in a human form. The first time he manifested himself before Abraham in a human form. This is the first time. Understand this now. My man is now emboldened. He got a shot of spiritual adrenaline. These men rose up, verse 16, thence, and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham this thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham surely become a great and mighty nation. Abraham didn't know the purpose. Abraham thought that their purpose was to tell him that I'm going to fulfill your promise. But it was twofold. His purpose was that, you know what? I have to take care of some business. Some of my wandering children over here just gone too far. They've gone out of control. I'm going to have to take care of business. Have you ever been a kid and your parents show up at school and you got in trouble? Not good. That happened to me once and only in life. All I said was weeping and gnashing of teeth that day. Okay? That was the first and last time I said, I do not want my dad come to school and call on me. Okay? These kids are going crazy in Sodom and Gomorrah. Abram had no clue. This is very important. He had no clue of what was about to take place. Verse 18 and 19, they begin to tell to him that justice and judgment must come. It's been too long. Now, this is unique. Being told his prayer is going to be answered, yet having not received the promise, he has enough faith to pray anyway. Here we go. He's praying for Lot. He said, you're going to destroy a whole city? You're going to destroy everybody in the city? He said, suppose there are some faithful people there. God already knew that there was no faithful people, but he tarried with them. He intruded them. He had a conversation with them. Verse 24 says, peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Thou be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And the righteous shall be as the wicked and be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, I will spare it for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, I have taken upon thee to speak unto the Lord, which I am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there be lack of, verse 28, peradventure there be lack of 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy it? And he said, if thou found 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And it went down, verse 29. He says, if there be 40 there, will thou destroy the city? Verse 30, he said, if there be 30 there. Now, this is the power of intercessory prayer. I want you to understand this. His prayer has not yet been manifested. He's been told he's going to be answered. He's been told he will be delivered. But he has enough faith to extend intercessory prayer for others. Do you understand what's happening here? Verse 31. Peradventure there be 20 found there. And he says, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. Verse 32. He's reaching now. And he's like, oh Lord, please don't be angry with me. He says, suppose there's 10 righteous. He said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And he left communing with God. Have you ever visited somebody in the hospital who's been sick? And you go in to pray with them? And you're holding there and you're communing with them and they turn around and pray for you? One of my mentors called me on, I had 3 prayers sent up for me. I'm not going to get into that. That's going to be future sermons here this year because it's all on prayer. I had 3 people pray for me at the end of the year. One person prayed for me. I met in Chicago in 2013. Wrote out a 7-page prayer, sent it to me in an email. Now, these 3 people who prayed for me do not know each other at all. Different cultures, different social economic backgrounds, different social status. All 3 prayers ran in unison, supporting and uplifting, talking about God's deliverance and God's promises. For me, I was sitting in the tent of my own door, looking, and it was like reassurance. I'm with you. I haven't forgotten you. I'm right here. He's waiting. And my mind started drawing closer and closer to him. I was like, oh my gracious, could this be it? On January 5th, earlier this year, one of my mentors gave me a call. Mother just died. Cancer. Says, I want to pray with you. And I'm like, I should be praying for you. She said, no, I want to pray with you. I don't know if you have many people in your life, but there's one person I think right here. I've gone to visit Brother Cleo several times in the hospital, when he was in the hospital. And each time I saw and went to visit Brother Cleo, he pray for me. The last time was when I thought he broke his neck. And I'm trying to comfort him. He's turning around comforting me. I said, Cleo, I'm supposed to be praying for you. He said, I'm all right. I'm going to pray for you. What's going on with you? And I thought that was so strange and unusual. But here, Abram is doing the same thing. Okay? My time has ended, but I will tell you this. God is taking us through, and there's no shortcuts. The answers to prayers are yes, no, and wait. As you know, and move forward in verse chapter 20 and 21, Sarah did have a child. He was named Isaac. And there were deliverance of promises. This year, our goal and aspiration is to teach and to preach on different aspects of prayer. And it's really my desire, as you listen to Archie sing, I think 3:12, Nearer My God, our desire is to draw closer to God. Nothing comes but by prayer and fasting. Those are the pillars of our faith. God to thee,
on joyful wing leaving the sky.
What type of fortress are you building?
To thee.
For all of us are building something. We're the pillars of your house. Mark chapter 9, our Savior says that this is only accomplished by prayer and fasting. This year, our goal is watch and pray. This is the 31st day of the new year. Thursday, 10% of the year will be done. There's only 365 days in the year. It'll be 36 days. Have you begun the new year different than the way you ended the old? Have you turned the page, turned on a new leaf? Is prayer an essential part of your daily existence? Is fasting, communicating with God, an essence of your daily survival? If our goal is heaven, and our goal is to be with our Lord and Savior, this must be as important as waking up in the morning and brushing your teeth. It must be as important as waking up in the morning and eating breakfast. It must be as important to your essence and survival. Because we all need to be closer and near to Christ. And we only get there by prayer and fasting. Shall we bow our heads? Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for being in our house of worship here this morning. And we ask you, dear God Jesus, to please strengthen us and bind us, uplift us and hold us as we wait on you. When some of our prayers are answered quicker, let's praise your name. And when some of our prayers are delayed, let's praise your name. Help us to hold on and hold out. Help us to extend our hand to our brothers and sisters in Christ through the power of intercessory prayer. For that person receiving that prayer may need it at that moment, at that very time. You knew when to visit Abram. You knew when to visit Abraham. And you knew when to visit us. I pray that each and every one of us will be found waiting, expecting, looking for you as he was in his tent store. And when you arrive, we'll be able to recognize you and say, praise God. For we pray in Jesus Christ's most holy and precious name. Amen.